Chapter 6, A Rude Awakening. September 27th, Earth. I sat bolt upright in bed. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, my mirth dream had been interrupted, and I was suddenly wide awake. Something was wrong, and I was shaking with fear. I must be messed up, because I couldn't go back to sleep, and started to write in my journal. I usually have a one-night dream of roughly 2 weeks of life on Mirth, followed by about 2 weeks of normal life here on Earth. I also typically transition back here when I go to sleep on Mirth, too. This time, I had only been there for a few days when I was yanked back to Earth right in the middle of telling my story to my Mirth friends. Something is wrong. A moment later, my cell phone buzzed. It was Chantel. Chantel is the Earth counterpart of Janice. Her full name is Janet Chantel Jackson, but she avoids using her first name for obvious reasons. She and I are the only two heroes who can remember our Mirth dreams when we wake up. I suspect it has something to do with our mismatched entities. All the other heroes are 13 years old, both here, on Earth, and on Mirth, but not us. I'm 13 here, but my partner, Staven, is 17 on Mirth. Janice, Chantel's Mirth partner, is 13, but she is only 11 here on Earth, even though she's also in the 8th grade. Oh, and in case you didn't catch it, Chantel's a girl, and her Mirth buddy, Janice, is a guy. Yeah, that's gotta be weird. Chantel. Hi. Mark. What the heck? Chantel. I don't know. Mark. Are you okay? Chantel. Yes. How about you? Mark. Good. Chantel. Okay. See you tomorrow. Mark. Okay. Bye for now.
I feel much better knowing that Chantel was also sucked out of the dream, but now I'm worried about why it even happened. I have no idea what woke us both up, and just hope that everyone else is okay. There's no way I'm going back to sleep, so I guess I may as well work on my history project. How sick is that? I'm usually an A student, except for English and history. This year, I'm doing well in English, but I'm failing American history. My history teacher, Mr. Narwani, is letting me do an extra credit history assignment and even agreed that it doesn't have to be about American history. He wants me to develop an interest in the subject and is letting me do a research project on any area of history which interests me. That's awesome because, believe it or not, he's also on Mirth, even though he doesn't know it. His Mirth persona, Mr. Ertesh, is just as annoying as he is here. In fact, Mr. Ertesh gave me the assignment to get his Earth counterpart to gather some historical data on mysticism so that he could use it on Mirth. Yeah, lucky me. I get history homework from the same guy on two different worlds. I owe Mr. Narwani the first draft tomorrow, or I suppose now that's today, so I guess I better get started.
Ugh, what a day. Why does everything seem to happen on the days when you're fighting to stay awake because you were up all night? Chantel and I were busted for passing notes in class and had to go to detention. The worst part was that everyone was giggling that we were passing love notes. It got even worse when I started blushing, which they took as proof that they were right. We weren't exchanging love notes, of course. We were talking about Mirth, but we couldn't say that, could we? Then I showed Mr. Narwani my research. I explained that it was just a rough start, but he went all ballistic on me. He said, "Mr. Panagopoulos, what was the one requirement I gave you?" I said, "To do some history research?" He stormed, "Yes, Mr. Panagopoulos, and I explicitly explained to you that a Google search on mystical number 7 does not qualify as research." His voice was quivering, and he was almost yelling. I think he gets in trouble if he shouts at school, but he was having a hard time keeping his voice down. Besides, I used both Google and Wikipedia. It's not like I just looked on Facebook or anything. What does he expect me to do anyway? I tried to explain that I had filtered out the irrelevant content to focus on meaningful examples. I was proud of that phrase, but for some reason my explanation only made my teacher madder. He went off on a 5-minute tirade about cherry-picking data, fake news, and the origin of conspiracy theories. I just don't know what he wants. He finally got himself under control and apologized for his outburst. He said that he was tired because he had been awakened in the middle of the night by someone trying to break into his house. He noted that it was probably just kids and that they ran off before the police arrived.
The only damage was a broken window, his shattered nerves, and his rest. I said I was sorry that had happened and that I also didn't sleep much last night because I was up working on this project. He breathed an enormous sigh and put his head in his hands. He eventually looked up and told me to take everything I had found, to come up with a theory, and to research historical evidence to support my premise. He said that the results would be garbage, but that perhaps I might at least learn how to follow the research process. I'm not sure, but I don't think my project is going very well. On the other hand, Mr. Narwani didn't immediately fail me, so maybe it isn't too bad. I carefully wrote down his instructions, and am going to look up what the word premise means tonight. At lunch, I tried to fill in the guys about my adventure on Mirth, but once again did not finish my story. Malik saw Nancy Wellington just as I was explaining my fight with the Balrog and elbowed me to say, "How come you can fight monsters on Mirth but can't even ask Nancy out on a date here on Earth?" Everybody laughed, and I explained that I was going to ask her to the fall costume ball. "Yeah, right," laughed Malik. "Never happen," agreed Tyler. "In your dreams, just like Mirth," added Ethan, and all three high-fived. I was clearly destined to never finish my great escape story either on Mirth or here, so I decided to prove my mettle to them once and for all. I stuffed the last bits of my sandwich and half-eaten apple into my lunch bag, stood up, and walked straight over to Nancy Wellington. I was going to do it. I was going to say, "Hi, Nancy. How are you doing? I was wondering if you'd like to go to the costume ball with me." It was going to be easy. Heck, it was going to be a lot easier than fighting a Balrog or facing down a giant dragon. I was almost there when she turned to say hi to Martin Sedgwick. Her back was to me, and I stood there waiting for her to finish, but she just kept talking and talking. It suddenly didn't feel like the right time. It didn't feel natural and casual, so I gripped my lunch bag a little tighter and started walking again. Nancy looked up as I passed, but I didn't even say hi. I didn't want to embarrass myself by saying something stupid, but realized that walking by and not saying anything had the same effect when I glanced back at my friends howling with laughter. I am such a loser.